God, we just sang it, and now we will say it. All we need is you. Through the trials and circumstances and challenges in this life, that God, we admit and we acknowledge that are too much for us as individuals at times. God, we simply say it, all we need is you. God, we put our cares at your feet today, dear God. We put our physical needs at your feet today, dear God. We put our spiritual and our emotional needs at your feet today, dear God, because all we need is you. You are the one and only true God, your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Father, we've come to worship you. We bless you. We thank you for your presence in this place today. We say it again, all we need is you. Thank you for your presence in this place today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We again welcome you into the house of the Lord, everyone that's here today, and again, especially our new friends and local heroes from the Independent Hose Fire Company here in downtown Jersey Shore. We're just glad to have you. Once again, welcome. I'll read this. It's probably more for our people. You may have well heard it before. I think I've heard every police joke that there is out there, but here's one for the fire company. There was a huge fire at a big city cola factory, a soda pop cola factory. The city fire company was losing ground fighting the blaze, and the owner was frantic. He told the department he needed a secret formula that was in the safe inside the center of the building that was on fire. He would give $10,000 to the department that would get the formula out safely. An hour later, no ground was gained, and a mutual aid call was put out. Did you hear this one? Okay. When 12 departments couldn't subdue the blaze, the owner saw this. He raised the reward to $100,000. Suddenly, a small town department roared into the scene and drove their truck right into the fire. They emerged 10 minutes later with the secret formula. When asked what they would do with the reward money, their chief responded, "We'll get them brakes on our fire truck fix, I imagine." So it sounds right, right? It's all about budgets, right, Chief? It's all about budgets. Praise the Lord. Well, when Sean Hummer and I spoke here just a number of weeks ago when we discussed this idea, he said, you, as a fire company, go somewhere every year and have your worship service at a different, and a memorial service at a different church. And again, we're just blessed to have you here. And I thought, well, as soon as he began speaking that, I thought, well, you know, of course I would be thinking, what will we be preaching on that day? And the first thing that came to my mind was the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You probably remember the story, those of you that attended Sunday school as a small child, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew boys that stood in faith. And so I went with that thought. I believe that's the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I just believe that's where God is taking us today, and we've entitled the message today, Into the Midst of the Fire. Into the Midst of the Fire. I can think of no other passage and no other name that would be more fitting for today. I'll share one war story with you because it made me realize I already honored the fire company and the firefighters, but I honored them more after this day. I was a young trooper and I had worked all the day shift in Sealands Grove. I was stationed at the time. Now the day was winding down. It was 10 o'clock at night. I was ready for bed when my phone rang. It was the barracks there at Sealands Grove said, "You got to get up here, get dressed. You're going down to Camp Hill." This was in 1989, those of you that were alive back then and cognizant enough to remember. Camp Hill prison riot began to take place that night. So we went up and numbers from the station went down to that place. And when we got there, it was an inferno. The place, the Camp Hill prison, was almost completely on fire. Every building that the prisoners could take over, they took over and they had set them ablaze. You may not know it was a religious Muslim-led riot back then, that the idea was to cause great harm to the government, the Commonwealth, and to basically tap into the coffers of this rich economy that we have. 1989. So we entered the gate. Our platoon went in once we formed up, and we had a... There was a major there. I had seen him in the academy, and so he was there. I think he was looking for a platoon. So since he was the ranking officer, our platoon went in, and we basically went to different locations all night. But the prisoners were finally quartered into their main courtyard between their buildings where they were supposed to be imprisoned but had gotten out. So as morning broke that day and the smoke was still rising over the prison yard, they were still putting fire, and the firefighters were still attempting from the outside perimeter to get water onto these buildings. Finally, the major led us to this back door of the cafeteria. And he opened the door, and he had been leading us all night, to his credit. And finally, he went to the door, and he says, "Okay, men, go in there." I thought, well, his time with us must be up. So we went in there, and I got a great appreciation for firefighters that day. We went into that building that was on fire, I think fairly safe. But the walls were still, they were ceramic blocks that had made up. It was the kitchen and the cafeteria, and they were red. I believe it was the lath inside that was probably covered over with these ceramic tiles, and they were red hot. I felt like I walked into an oven. And I realized that day as we charged through that cafeteria and into that courtyard where the prisoners were. I had no fear of going with the prisoners and attacking them because I had plenty of people with me. I didn't like that building on fire, and I realized that day I don't want to be a fireman. In fact, we went in there and were able to subdue and arrest the prisoners that were in the prison yard there, and finally were able to effect the escape of those prison guards and those prison guards that had been taken hostage and been brutalized all night. And I realized that day I didn't want to ever be a prison guard as well. People that do those roles, my hat goes off to all of you. So thank you. I realized that day I was in the right line of work, being a police officer. Firefighters, prison guards, I just have my loyalty. Into the midst of the fire, if you have your Bibles with you, or there are some in the pew in front of you, those of you in the front row, maybe someone, if you want one, would share the one that's behind you. They're down under the seats. But I will read the passage. I'm going to be in the book of Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, just to set the background for you. If you've studied the book of Daniel, Daniel, of course, is the most prominent person in the book of Daniel. You remember the story again of Daniel in the lion's den, and Daniel was a prophet and a gifted leader. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Jews. They had been in the Jerusalem, in the environments of Jerusalem, when the wicked, ungodly king named Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire laid siege to Jerusalem and finally tore down not only the walls but destroyed the temple, the most holy building of the Jews. Nebuchadnezzar was not a foolish leader. He knew that when he conquered a country, he would do himself well to take the best and the brightest people from that nation and bring him into his nation and try to indoctrinate them in his ways and to try to use them as leaders. It would be like today, an invading army coming in, and they would go to MIT and take our best scientists and they would use them to their efforts. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel were those ones, some of the many Jews that were taken, and they were taken from their homeland in Jerusalem and in Judah, and they were taken to Babylon, and they were put into the service of the Babylonian kingdom against their will. Time goes on. They are serving the king to the point that they are able to and still honor their God, the God of the Hebrews, the Jewish God, Yahweh, our God, because Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan. Time went on, and this king Nebuchadnezzar had a great idea in his mind. He made a golden statue. It was some 80 feet high and just a huge statue. It was covered in gold. It must have been beautiful to look on, but by all appearances, it was simply a pagan altar. And he had commanded all the people when they came out on this particular day, they were to stand in front of this golden statue, and at the sound of the music, when the harps and the lyres began to play, everybody, man, woman, and child, they were all to bow down and begin to worship this idol. Something happened that day. All the people of the government came out, the Babylonian people, and among them that day would have been Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When the music began to play, everybody bowed down except for three. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down. We pick up the story here in Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to read, first of all, verse 12. After this happened, the leaders of the government came to the king, and they were going to rat out these three Jews who they hated regardless, and they were going to report them to the king. And here's what they said to the king: "There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up." They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you set up. Of course, as I looked at this passage, I endeavored to, in honor of our guests today, and of honor not only of you as individuals, but the role that you play in our community. Every day being on call, subject to call. And when the call comes, you don't have a choice. You don't even think about it. You go. That's your commitment. And we call that loyalty. And I would like to put forward the idea that these three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had unyielding loyalty. Unyielding loyalty. You see, like public servants in our culture and anywhere around the world, they are loyal to a greater cause, and so are you. As was read in the poems here earlier, we talk about serving people and saving the lives of people that we don't even know and risking our lives. That's what fire companies do. That's what firemen and firewomen do. It's loyalty to something greater. To you, it's probably not only a matter of personal conviction, but you're probably showing loyalty to an oath or a commitment you took when you joined the department. That's my guess. You almost certainly, when you signed on, you made an agreement. You said, "I will do this." It's a commitment. It's loyalty to something greater. In our department, we have what's called the Call of Honor. It goes, "I'm a Pennsylvania State Trooper, a soldier of the law. To me is entrusted the honor of the force. I must serve honestly, faithfully, and if need be, lay down my life as others have done before me, rather than swerve from the path of duty." And I bet it's a lot like yours. It's loyalty. It's loyalty to something greater than ourselves. You see, these certain Jews, by my perspective, I would call them the one percenters. They're the one percenters. These Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, we don't know where he was, but I'm sure he wasn't bowing down. He may have been on vacation. But there's always these one percenters, and these people rose to the top. They gained the attention of the king as the best of the best. But they were not only the one percenters in not worship, but they are not worshiping the idol. It was their level of commitment. They had unyielding loyalty to their God. Unyielding loyalty to their God. They wouldn't be wavered. They wouldn't turn from the commitment. They had set their heart to understanding, probably as a small child, and the deal was done. And the king could say whatever he wanted to do. He could threaten them any way he wanted to. It didn't make any difference. They were those one percenters. We have them in our culture. We would often say in law enforcement, many people go about their daily lives as though they were sheep. And you have 1% of the culture who are wolves, 1% of the culture who are law enforcement officers, and those sheepdogs, that 1%, fight against the wolves so that the sheep can live. And I can tell you, it's the same in the fire company. It's that 1% of people that when people are running out of a blazing building, you're the ones running in. To get the people that are still in there. You remember, we all remember vividly the images of 9/11 when the people were running down the stairs to save their own lives. You see the faces, and I can still see them on the screen of my mind, of these young firefighters, men and women, going up the stairs to the higher floors. And many of them, that was their last climb, wasn't it? But it didn't matter. It was commitment. It was loyalty to something greater. And these Jews were loyal to their God. There was no flexibility. There was no question in my mind. "They're loyal to my God," they would say. It's funny because they were supposed to do something at a certain time. They were supposed to, in my lingo, they were supposed to dance to the music of the culture and bow to the idol of gold. Boy, I could go on that for a sermon all day. Because I want to tell you, You believers in this room, you believers in the fire company, I recognize where you're at. I know the pressure that the culture puts on us to conform and to conform to ungodliness. I want to say, stand fast. Don't compromise your principles. Stand loyal to your God. Stand loyal to something that's so greater than us. This finite life that we live is only for a moment. We read that beautiful roll call of honorable members that served in your department have now gone on to the next life. The scripture tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. The question is, where do we go? It's either heaven or hell. There's two options. There is no third option. It's two options. And they wanted them to dance to the music of the culture, bow to gold. And I can tell you, gold has overtaken many in our country today. And I'm a capitalist. I'm an American. I'm all about being able to prosper by God's hand. And God has given us a wonderful culture. But gold is not my God. One day I will leave that all behind. I had a coworker one time. He says, what really matters is at the end of the day, at the end of your life, he says, how much you really got in the bank? And I said, Ron, how can you think that? You're going to leave it all behind. In heaven, it's pavement. That gold is just pavement. It's meaningless. But they wanted them to bow to the gold and to bow to the music of the culture. Unyielding loyalty, and second, uncommon unity. These Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, demonstrate not only unyielding loyalty to their God, but uncommon unity to each other. Think of the word unity. It's like the United States, an e pluribus unum, out of many, one. All these states have become one as a nation. Unity, and when you have a platoon and a company, a fire company, and it's a well-named word, a company is not a company in corporation. A company is a military term. Company normally have about 100 people. A platoon is about 30 people. A squad about 10 people. It's unity, though. You're unified as one. You don't go out to a fire as individuals. You go out to a fire as a company. You respond as a company. Uncommon unity. If you have your Bibles, jump down to or go to verse 13. I'll begin reading there at verse 13 of chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well, he's giving them a second chance. But if you will not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And don't miss this question. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hand? What God is there who can deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fire, the furnace of a burning fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Uncommon unity. Shadrach didn't respond one way, and Meshach said something else, and Abednego said, oh, I'm out of here. I'm not going to do that. Your company gets called. You go to the scene of the fire. Your chief says, this is how we're going to attack this blaze. I can imagine any fire companies. One guy saying, I'm not going in. The second person, I got to go get a coffee. And the third person says, I'm just too tired. I can't do this today. It doesn't happen that way, and that's why you're a company. And that's why you've endured since 1902. It's those traditions that have been carried on, that commitment, the level of commitment to your call of duty. Uncommon unity. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all answered in one accord. There was no division among them. They all three said the same thing. They responded as one man. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, we do not need to give you an answer. Sir, king, there's no question in our minds, all three of us. We're all in agreement. We're not part of what you're doing here, King. We're not going to bow to any other God but our God, the God of heaven. Uncommon unity in front of King Nebuchadnezzar in verse 15. I thought it was funny. He says to them, what God is there who can deliver you? He's about to find out. I just want to talk to you, everybody in this room today, you believers. The world is seeking the God that can deliver. The world is seeking the God of miraculous. The world is seeking the one true God. And like Nebuchadnezzar, they didn't believe it was possible. Nebuchadnezzar was very proud in his heart at this time, I'm sure. He'd already invaded and conquered Jerusalem. And in his mind, he had conquered their God. Because in that culture, if you conquered a country, you're obviously stronger than your God. It must be the pagan God that they worship that's stronger. Little did Nebuchadnezzar know that God had finally taken his protective hand off of that nation because they worshiped the idols in Jerusalem. In the very place that was supposed to be the most holy place in Jerusalem, they were worshiping pagan gods, the Baals and the Ashtaroth. God says, no more. I'm taking my hand off of you. And I'll tell you what, as a nation, Americans, you better stand strong in the things of God. Because that is the nature of God. He will remove his hand if we don't protect our things that are right and righteous and holy. Protecting the unborn and protecting our religious freedoms and protecting the Word of God. The world is seeking the one true God. But they all three had the same answer. There was unity among Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I believe, in fact, if you study chapter 1, we won't take the time to go there. They trained together. They practiced together. They came into the nation together. They clearly knew each other. They had gone through training exercises in the Word of God and the principles of the text. The parchments they read, I'm sure they read the prophet Isaiah, and I'm sure they read the law of Moses, and they probably knew it by heart. Or close to it. There was unity among them. They've been through the same training and they've been through the same experiences. Again, you study the early chapters, you see that they were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel were offered food. It was pagan food. It wasn't what we would call today kosher food. It was against the Hebrew law, and they refused to eat it. We're not going to be part of that. You feed us vegetables and water for 10 days. Let's see how you make out. And they agreed, and they were better than all the other people that ate the pagan food. Why? Not necessarily because the food was better or healthy, because they honored God. They honored God, the one true God. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar, this pagan king, has a dream. He calls all of his soothsayers and his prophets in. He said, okay, I want you not only to interpret the dream I had, but I want you to tell me the dream I had. His wise men saying, King, you've basically gone off the deep end. How could we possibly know? You tell us what the dream is, we'll interpret it. He says, oh no. Oh no. You, if you're really a prophet, you'll know what my dream was, and then you tell me what it means. They couldn't do it, and the king is ready to kill all of them, including this prophet named Daniel, who is among them. Daniel gets the word he's going to be killed because these prophets can't produce. Daniel goes to the king and says, give me a little time. He goes to his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Pray with me. Pray with me. Seek the will of God. I need to know what this dream is. Seek the will of God. And so God reveals through their prayers and their commitment, this unity of these believers, he reveals the dream to Daniel. And it's one of the greatest prophetic writings in the Bible. If you ever take time, it talks about it actually unlays and unravels and unfolds the whole history of the earth. It's amazing. This golden statue that he talks about in chapter 2 is part of his dream. They had been in common battles together. They had trained together. They were 100% volunteer. I thought that I saw that on your truck. 100% volunteer, and so were these guys. They volunteered. They signed up to worship God for free and put their life on the line for free. You remember the story. Some of you may have seen it on, I guess it was on HBO in 2001, called A Band of Brothers. It was the Echo Company of the 101st Airborne, and it details their accounts, mostly in the European theater in World War II. But this band of brothers and others would join them as some ended their terms of service, others would join them. They became a tight band of brothers. Even though they had a common bravery, there was clearly a common fear, but they stood together. They were unified for a purpose. They were unified for the purpose. I have this phrase, I like it, I call it this, common battles bring uncommon unity. Am I right? When you've gone together and you've fought the blaze and you've rescued those who need rescue, you fought the battle, you come back, you're unified. Why? It's been a common battle. Am I right? I know what it's like. You have a common unity. You're unified by those battles that they cause us to be more unified. Unyielding loyalty, uncommon unity, and finally, unparalleled bravery. Unparalleled bravery. Let me read it again, verse 18. They're responding to the king, and they all Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in unison, they had the first trio in the Bible. They all sang the same song to the king. They said, but even if he does not, even if our God does not rescue us, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. We are not going to worship the pagan god. I have to wonder, these three men, they're there. They're not knowing. They're knowing that the king is going to throw them in the fire because they've already decided they're not going to bow down. And they're probably wondering, hey, Daniel, can you get a word from God? Like, what's going to happen if we get thrown in the fire? Let us know, would you? I don't know if that happened or not, but all I know is they didn't know what the future held. When you go into a fire, you don't know what the future holds, do you? You don't know if you're coming out. Let's just be real. You can take every safety precaution that's out there. When you go to fight the blaze, you don't know what the end of the day is. When you get in your truck, when we get in our cars, you don't know what the end of the day holds. And my prayer is that you will, as a company, always be perpetually protected by the Holy Spirit, that He will be a visitor that goes through that door with you each and every time. They did not know the outcome when they told the king, you do what you want. He said, I'm going to throw you in the fire. They didn't know what the outcome was. Clearly, they had no word from God. But they said, no matter what happens to us, even if God does not save us in the fire, He's going to deliver us from you, king. Never forget that. They entered the fiery furnace that day by choice. It was their choice. They had an out. If they would have just bowed down and took their second chance, they had an out. And they said, no, we're going to stand fast. It's unparalleled bravery. Unparalleled bravery. Let me read on here, and we're almost done. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was normally heated. And he commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of the blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers. Don't forget these items of clothing. I'm going to go back to that. They were tied up in their trousers and their coats and their caps and their other clothes. And they were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. Still tied up. Verse 21, when I read that, I'm thinking, man, I thought of that picture. It's behind me of the firemen going in. It says they had their coats on, they had their hats on, they had their leggings, and another word for that is their hammers. Isn't that funny? Some would say that, well, what that really means, it was a flat pant that looks like it was hammered. Others say, no, they were rulers of justice and they had a hammer in their hand. But regardless of what the real meaning is in Hebrew, I got a picture of that person going into the fire with the hat on, with the coat on, with the leggings, and with the hammer, and with the hook axe. And they went into the midst of the furnace as of you. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, and he stood in haste. He responded, and he said to his high officials, was it not 3 men we cast bound into the fire, in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to him, certainly, O king. And he answered and said, look, I see 4 men loosed and walking around in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods. And you see the king bound. 3 men put them in the fire, but what the king didn't know and what the king could not do is bound that visitor that went with them that day, that went into the fire with those 3 men. The theologians will discuss this, whether it was a special angel prepared by God or the Son of God, Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ. And my belief is it was Jesus, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was in there with them in the fire one day. This unseen companion all of a sudden became visible when the fire was on. And church and company, that's my prayer for you when the fire is on, the unseen companion. And I mean in the fire, and I mean in the fires of life, in your marriage, in your finances, and in your health, and in your future direction, and your plans that you're trying to discern what's best for me and my wife. What's best for my children? And there's so many in this community that have been addicted to the heroin habit. And there's so many that have gone astray. And many godly parents in this room say, God, I would give anything if my child would just come back. I want to tell you, there's an unseen companion. His name is Jesus Christ. And he can go with you into any fire, including the building that's burning. Jesus became visible when the fire was on that day. He becomes revealed in the midst of the fire. He was with them all the time. I believe that without question. He began to show up when the heat was on. And that's what Jesus does. When things get down and dirty and we have nowhere else to go, Jesus shows up. He's like the Son of the gods. He wasn't like the Son of the gods. He was the Son of God, Nebuchadnezzar. And it says that these were bound. They were bound, Nebuchadnezzar said. And now I see them. They were loosed and walking around. Folks, I just want to tell you, Jesus is the King of freedom. When you're in the fire, Jesus will come. He will loose you. You will be freed and walking around. He freed those Hebrew boys that day, and the fire did no harm. He was with them the whole time. And back to the question that was asked by Nebuchadnezzar in verse 15. What God is there who can deliver you? God showed him. It was that fourth person in the fire. Jesus Christ is the one that can deliver you. There is no other. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ. That's the God that will deliver them, Nebuchadnezzar. That fourth person in there, Nebuchadnezzar, that's the one who will deliver them. I have a verse here I have to read, and I think you really will enjoy it. It's so fitting, I thought. And it fit not only the story, but it also fits the day. It was written by the prophet Isaiah, who had lived at least 100 years prior to the time of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I wonder if they knew his writings and were holding on in faith to this writing, knowing that when they're going to get thrown in the fire, believing that God was going to rescue them. Isaiah 43 says this, "Do not fear, God says, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched." Amen? You will not be scorched, the Lord says. "Nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And finally, in closing, verse 26 in Daniel, "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here.' Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head even singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor did they even have the smell of smoke. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, 'Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who put their trust in him. They violated the king's command and yielded up their bodies so as to not serve or worship any other god except their own God.'" They yielded up their bodies. They sacrificed their bodies if need be. They risked their lives, and they were willing to do it for their commitment. They were unified in purpose. There was no division among them. Their bravery was bravery that only God could give, I believe. They were willing to risk their lives for what they knew was right, as do you. So I close with this thought. That visitor in the fire that day, as I said, I believe fully that was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. He would come some 500 years later to this earth. He would be born of the Virgin Mary. He would live what we would say was kind of a normal life, if the Son of God could, we can say that. But he lived and he was persecuted because of his love for the Father. He was persecuted by the religious people. He was looked at as some kind of crazy religious nut. You believe that God is your Father? Yes. And God continues to reveal himself as our Father today. But he said these words in John 15, verse 13. Jesus said this. He knew he was about to die. He says, "Greater love has no man than this, than he lays down his life for his friends." There is no greater love than someone who's willing to lay down their life for their friends or even for people they don't know. I'm going to ask the worship team to come as we're going to close this part of the service. The lights will come down. We are hopeful that during the time of our gathering today so far, you've experienced something that maybe it's foreign to some of you, but I'm trusting you experience, as we put in the letter, the presence of God. The Holy Spirit in worship, you sense something, and I want to tell you, if you have, it's God speaking to you. But independent hose, I want to reassure you that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you worship the one true God in spirit and in truth, that no matter where you go, even into the midst of the fire, you have someone with you. When three of you go in, if you are believers, the fourth one is Jesus Christ. He's in the fire with you. When you're at home, he's with you. When you're responding to calls, he's with you. When you're dealing with life, he's with you. He's the unseen visitor. I'm going to ask us all to please stand. This story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is for us hard to wrap our minds around unless we believe in a supernatural God, and I do. He's a God of miracles. He's an amazing God. We have two songs to sing here. First is "I See Heaven." And as we pray here in just a moment, I just want you to, in fact, please close your eyes. Right now, God, I'm asking you, Father, that your Holy Spirit will visit this room. And he's already here, and I thank you. God, I thank you for each man and woman in this room today. And I thank you, we thank you for our dedicated heroes of the fire company. And God, I pray, Father, for those that know you as Lord and Savior, God, that they would simply renew their faith in you today. That they would be reminded that you are the one that goes with them in the fire. You are the one that is with them in their daily walk. You're the one that has the answers. You're the one that prevents them from anything that will come against them. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, the Word of God says. I pray for a strengthening and commitment of those who are believers in this room. And for any that don't right now in Jesus' name, I just pray that you'll reveal yourselves as you did to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as you did to Nebuchadnezzar, who was an unbeliever until that very moment. I pray that you'll reveal yourself. God, I just ask you, Father, to speak as only you can do to hearts in this place. And if any doesn't know you in this room today, to God, I pray that it would simply say the words, "Lord Jesus, I need you as my Savior. As you protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I need protected from the fire of this life." God, I pray that you'll just speak to hearts today. We praise you, God. We worship you. We ask you, Lord, just to show yourself in fullness today as we worship you. God, stir up our hearts to the things of Jesus Christ. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We ask you to please sing with us as we begin to sing. This area in front is always open. I know in a platoon formation, you're unified. I recognize that, and sometimes we don't want to break rank. But we're here to, if you have a question or a prayer need, maybe some of you have an upcoming surgery that you want to be prayed for. We believe in the power of God in this church. Amen. I've seen Him heal. We've seen Him heal. He's the God of miracles. We're going to sing that in just a minute. He is the God of miracles. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Those of you that know the hymns know that one. Amen? Amen. So the altar area is open. If you have a special need, please, someone will be glad to pray with you. Worship team, let's worship.